B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, 97.5 The Fanatic. It's Jason Martinez, Anthony off today. Midday show. 610-632-0975. All right, we'll get to the Mike Richards, the shift in just a second, Andrew. We have a Twitter poll up. Was it on at 975 Middays?
It is on at 975 Middays, yes.
All right, let me bring up the Twitter poll here. Oh, it's not working. Let's go with the... I don't understand why some people turn off the number pad on a computer.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Like, just leave it on. What do you got to turn it off for? What's the matter with you?
Okay. The number's coming handy.
I put up the morning show on there. Sorry about that. Here we go. All right, 975 Middays. Here's the poll. Starting pitcher goes six innings. How many runs do the Phillies need to be up by for you to feel confident that the bullpen can finish the job and win in the last three innings? 16 or more is really an option.
Kind of a comical poll.
I'll just vote at least five. All right, right now.
They were up 13-1, Jason,
and
they gave up seven runs.
But you also know that you're up 13-1. So 28.7% voted for 16 or more and at least nine. 23.4% voted for at least five. And 19.1% voted for 10 to 15.
10 to 15 would be my answer.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah, and of course, the poll of the day is brought to you by Marvin Ucan's Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin Ucan's Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinUcan's.com today. And the reason why I put out that poll was John Clark recently tweeted out that the Phillies relievers ERA is now at 10.19, which is worst ERA for a bullpen in baseball through the first 12 games since the 1955 Kansas City Athletics.
Wow.
How about that? The Kansas City Athletics.
That is insane.
Now, someone made a great point. JCat on Twitter said it has to be 10 or more based on their ERA because the ERA is at 10.19.
Oh, my goodness.
So you should have 10 or more.
It is nuts. Real quick, before the shift, in 1987, on May 14th, the Flyers were playing the Canadiens in the playoffs. Flyers went to a cup final that year, obviously, and there was a pregame brawl. Have you ever seen the footage of it,
yes.
Andrew?
Yeah, it's great.
Guys coming out in flip-flops and no shoulder pads or jerseys on. A guy that played for Montreal, and he was a bastard, Claude Lemieux. I mean, he was a dirty player. He played for the Devils. Yeah, Claude Lemieux. He had this ritual where he would shoot pucks at the end of warm-up into the opposition net. And the Flyers had warned him not to do it. You don't like pucks going into your net for any reason. And because he didn't listen, it got more and more built up, and he did it. And Chico Resch was on the team. And it was just this crazy, crazy brawl.
It's about 20 minutes long. By the time they cleared everything up.
Yeah. Chris Nyland fought Dave Brown. It was crazy and just a wild, wild affair. So there's some history between these two teams. But the last time these two teams faced each other in the playoffs was 2010. And the Flyers were in the conference final. They had home ice because they were the 7th seed and Montreal was the 8th seed. And the Flyers, of course, in the first round beat the Devils in 5, came back in the Bruins series from down 3-0 in games and then 3-0 in game 7 to win that series. And they went on to face the Montreal Canadiens with Jaro Halak as the goaltender. And in game 5, shorthanded, this is the shift.
On the boards, there's Bergeron. Forced away by Richards. Claude Giroux, 3-on-2 with Richards. There's the trailer. Big save. Halak robbed Coburn.
What a play by Mike Richards to set that up.
Metropolitan on the boards. As the hitting intensifies, it's 1-0 Montreal. On a power play for another 50 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. Great. Wow, you found a great clip of it, too, with the music and everything.
It's either music or no music.
Yeah, and like Jim Jackson's not on the call because national television's doing the game, and I don't think we even had the rights yet to Flyer broadcast at that time. We did not. Of course, I was doing the games on the other station. So just a tremendous effort, and Halak comes flying out, and Richards plops it in the empty net, and the Flyers go on to win. Well, what a shift that was. And that place, and I was there, was going nuts. That's one of the bummers right now, is that this game isn't at the Wells Fargo Center tonight.
I've been totally fine watching the games without fans, but this is different, right?
Like, yeah.
Baseball, it's not the playoffs. Sixers, we're not feeling that confident about. But you're right. I mean, could you imagine like the Broad Street line on SEPTA right now?
Yeah.
Or not right now.
All the orange shirts. Tonight.
Yeah.
And orange out. Yeah, it would be great. That was a tremendous moment, man. And Richards, they gave him the Eastern Conference Championship trophy, and he just grabbed it and skated over the bench and handed it off right away. It's, do you grab it or do you not grab it? And they had talked before the game with Chris Pronger. They decided not to touch it if they want it. But then he just grabbed it and dropped it off at the bench. Wild stuff. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones and go to Frank in Westchester on the Fanatic. Hey, Frankie.
Hey, Jason. Yeah, it's a pleasure to speak live to you. I was a Bring the Heatsman back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
And we have a mutual buddy, Christopher at the Sprint store, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's my phone man. He's a good man.
Yeah, he's a good phonesman.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go, before my live Phillies rant. Oh, by the way, can we transplant Dame Lillard's head on a JoJo?
Right.
Right.
How about Dame 61? Wow.
He's a killer.
I love it.
Jason, I'm excited. I mean, Flyers are my fourth of four. You must be out of your mind, but I respect this coach so much. The team emulates them. They come at you in waves. I know I mentioned Anthony the other day. It's like they unleash hell, you know?
Yeah. The Russell Crowe in Gladiator, on my command, unleash hell, right?
I always loved you. By the way, you do the best Gabe, but anyway.
Well, nobody else does Gabe.
Well, yeah.
And I don't do Gabe anymore either.
I know, but he used to. But so Andy McPhail, has anyone seen Andy?
No, he's in the bunker.
Are you in the witness protection program?
Yep.
Andy, why don't you give me some stimulus money? Because you haven't earned a damn dime of your salary. Talk about a ghost payroll. The team's a comedy of errors. They're like watching the Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
You know, Chase, I swear, it's like Hector bribed Nick into being a gas can to create a save opportunity for him. But I think the coach keeping him in the roast was like a big FU to Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Anthony the other day, I want to Uber X Maddie's ass out of town. Well, you know what? Maddie's not worthy of an Uber X. He's going to do a shared Uber with McPhail. At around 2:05 a.m. in the morning with a bunch of drunk co-eds, I hope they puke on their tassels.
Well, that's the thing, Frank. Like, why are these two guys still here? You know what I mean? I've always brought this. Thanks for the call. I always say this. Look, no matter what you do for a living, when you have a boss, you have A-level managers and you have D-level managers. And there's spots in between. But an A-level executive, when he recognizes a mistake, he acts on it right away because he knows the longer the mistake is in place, the more damage can be done. And if we want to be taken seriously, we have to move forward and have the right guys in the right positions. A D-level manager, because he hired the mistake, leaves them there and doubles down on the mistake. And you see it in sports all the time. They double down on those guys. And those guys got to go. And if John Middleton doesn't know that Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail aren't the right guys by now, then I got to wonder about John Middleton. He had to override those two to bring in Joe Girardi because they thought Gabe was fine. And the fact that they thought that tells me all I need to know about them. Guys, do you really believe that? Yeah, we do. Okay, you got to go. We can't work together. Your judgment's not good enough. Because Gabe's not good enough. I let you hire him. It failed. And now you want to keep him after evidence is there that he's not a good manager? If you truly believe that, then we're going to part ways. See you guys. Andy, don't let the door hit you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mitch in Phoenix on the Fanatic. What's up, Mitch? Mitch.
Yeah, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, you're going to want to get me off that speakerphone right now. I am not a fan of the speakerphone on the radio.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, take all the time you need. Oh, much better.
Much better?
Much better.
Okay. How's the weather there today?
It's been like a bowl of soup here, like baked potato soup. It's just been so humid and gross. I think storms are supposed to come through today and maybe get a little relief.
You know, I would love a rainstorm where I'm at. You know, I'm in Phoenix, right?
Oh, yeah, you're in the desert, man. But you made that decision to live out there in that heat.
Yeah, but I was in 1976. Things have changed dramatically since then.
You can move, brother.
Yeah, where am I going to move when I can't even get on a... Yeah.
Pack up a U-Haul. Let's go.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of U-Hauls lately, so you're probably right. A lot of people are making an exit for wherever. I don't know where they're going, but they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's get back to sports, because I know sports rules in the city of Philadelphia. What head coach sits down five starters for a basketball game when one of the five starters is legitimately hurt? The other four...
Well, they're resting them. That's why the part of this return for the NBA didn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Because... you're going to have teams coming back that know they have no chance. You have players. It's an issue. I agree with you. I'm not, and Brett Brown's not the only one to do it. You know, Greg Popovich was the one who started load management in normal circumstances in regular seasons and would rest a lot of guys. And a lot of other teams employ that because they're judged on the playoffs. But you're right. In that sport, load management is a big element. I don't like it.
And if you're going to sit down five players and utilize your bench, why wouldn't you give the ball for at least a few minutes to this Shayok guy and see what he can do?
Well, look, Tyrone's apoplectic. That call started off.
You just ran out of left field with that one.
Yeah.
Are we going Shayok all of a sudden?
Look, I understand why coaches in the NBA do it, because they're going to be judged on playoff success. But
let's get Tony Rowland back for it too.
How about Isaiah Cannon? Is he available?
No, he's on a team somewhere chucking up threes.
Well, we can trade for him.
You can't now. You're in the bubble.
No, I know, but I mean, in the offseason we can get him back.
Speaking of the bubble, did you see the new rules that they put out today?
What, the NBA?
Yeah, after the first round you're allowed to bring family. That was always a part of the plan.
Conjugals?
But it's no longer just family. It could also be close personal friends.
So it's a conjugal is what it is.
You have to have proof that they're close personal
friends. Oh, so what, you got to like show like an Instagram story with you and your significant other? I mean, and some of these guys can't show proof.
All right, Tyrone's giving me some more details. It has to be more than just social media.
Okay. What, they have to be on like an electric bill at the house?
Maybe.
I mean, are we showing the proof of delivery or something?
Could you imagine? Hold on,
wow.
Could you imagine Bubba Chuck with his gang coming, his posse, his boys?
Crew Thick could be showing up, but they're on the electric bill because they had to pay the bill for the man. I used to bank right up here at the, it was Wachovia at the time, in Bala, and that was where Alan banked. And you could always see when Alan was banking because the Bentley would be out front. Parked right in the fire lane.
Yeah,
right?
That's awesome.
And you go in, and he'd be sitting to the left, like, just in the chairs, while his boys were doing his banking. You know what I mean? But you always knew, because the Bentley was out front.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Music blaring. And you hear him. You'd be standing in line, you hear that voice, and you knew it was AI right away.
The other rule that I'm, and Tyrone, maybe you know, it's
I hear you.
Four people plus kids. But how many kids is plus? Is it your kids? Is it the friends' kids?
Oh,
is it the
man.
Family's kids?
Is Sean Kemp
in
the bubble?
It's just your kids.
Right?
And here's the thing. The funny thing is, so you're allowed to give one ticket per game. So they're going to have one ticket per game.
Okay.
But a child that is under 33 inches tall. So it's 32 inches.
Oh, it's like
shorter.
A ride now.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what everyone's
Space
making.
Space Mountain.
The, everybody's
game.
Making the jokes because they're in Orlando. So you can have one family member, but if you have like 10 kids that are 32 inches or shorter, they're allowed in.
Well, that place is going to be packed. Sell it out. Well, do they get cut the line passes for Disney?
Should.
The Fast Pass?
They should. Oh, they're not allowed to go to Disney.
Oh, they're not allowed. Oh, because they got to stay in the bubble.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. Well, that should be interesting. Well, look, good on them. You can get some, you know, some stress relief with a conjugal for the players. Is a Kardashian going to be in there?
Maybe. Devin Booker.
Oh, he's on that now?
Yeah, he's been with Kendall for a while.
Oh, I thought.
I'm
thinking of the Jenner.
They took a, Kendall Jenner.
No, the one that Ben was with.
Yeah, Kendall Jenner.
But he was with Kendall? Can't keep the all
Kendall Jenner has made the bounce from Blake Griffin to Ben to somebody else, back to Ben, to Kuzma, back to Ben. And now she's with Devin Booker, and we'll be back with Ben next year.
Oof. Is she allowed in the bubble after all that?
I don't know. It's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like, the bubble, you got to get tested for the bubble. She's been around the NBA a little
bit. She's obviously a close personal friend to Devin Booker.
Wow. She gets traded more than an average point guard. Let's go to B-Hawk in Philly on the Fanatic. Yo, Hawk.
Jason, you ain't right what you just said.
You know you were thinking it, though.
Yo. No comment. Yes, sir. Yo, I'm frustrated. I'm calling. I'm frustrated. Everybody want to throw me under the bus. I don't care. I want to do an OKC move. I'm ready to detonate. I don't care. That's just really how I feel, and I don't care. I'm done, man. I'm ready to detonate. I'm ready to detonate. We talked a long time ago about this, and I said I'll give it until playoff time. I'm ready to detonate the Sixers. I'm ready.
So when you say I'm ready to detonate, tell me what that means.
Well, Cleveland got a package. Cleveland has an interesting package.
I saw this.
They said that I would take, if you give me Kevin Porter Jr., Collin Sexton, a Drummond, and a couple picks, and other guard he drafted last year, let's go home. I'm out. I'm taking that.
You're going to pull the ripcord on Ben.
I'm ready. Or if we go Devin Booker straight up and down, and you know that ain't going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
The money makes sense, but it ain't going to happen.
So you're ready to pull the ripcord on Ben. That's
I'm ready to ding it. I'm ready.
Okay, and obviously the coach.
Yep, coach can go. Beat if it feel like that. Go down again. He can. Look what OKC got. I'm ready to do OKC move.
What about Elton Brand?
Ooh, because someone brought that up.
Elton was the guy that was pulling the strings, deciding whether Jimmy Butler should be here, and Al Horford, he brought him in, and Josh Richardson, and signed Tobias to that massive deal. So where are you on Elton? Because you can tell me they're going to get all these draft picks, but if they get Ben, they're not going to be at the top of the draft.
Right.
Because they're going to be a better team. So the draft picks aren't that high, and you got to tell me they're going to be able to find talent, and that's Elton Brand identifying that. So
hopefully he can. I mean, we do the move with Cleveland, knowing where they're going to place. That's the only reason why I'm adamant about the Cleveland. But like you said, with Elton
you don't know where Cleveland's going to place, because with Ben, they're going to be a better team.
I don't, but who else? No one else is around him.
It doesn't matter. You're still going to be better. Are you going to be drafting? Are these picks lottery protected?
That's what I want. I want protected picks. And because Ben, I want to leave him in purgatory. I do a Blake Griffin, put him in purgatory.
Yeah, he'll leave Cleveland as soon as his deal's up.
Because Rich Paul is going to pull some strings and he's going to get to L.A. We know what's going to happen. He's going to do a year Cleveland, if that. He's going to get to L.A.
All right. So you're that disenchanted and you want Ben gone. You just
either one. Either one to me.
Yeah.
We can't win with either one. We can't. We can't.
See, I almost think, thanks for the call, B-Hawk. Man, you're bummed out. And it sucks because they just got back, right? And the playoffs haven't even started and you feel that way. That sucks. I wish that you felt different because the circumstance was different, but it's not, right?
But you know what, Jason, before I roll out for you, I want to see what the playoffs look like. But it's just with the mentality and the psyche, and I don't want to tarnish the thing, man, but just how it's looking, man, to get out the goal, if we get first rounded, and if we go strong, I mean, everyone's looking strong without, it's just, I don't know, bro. Maybe I'm in a funk. I might call you tomorrow differently, but with Cleveland, I'm going to ask you this. With that on the table and protected, would you take it for them?
I don't like trading what I think is the best player in a deal. I don't like doing it and getting back a bunch of pieces and draft picks with their history of drafting. And look, the NBA draft's a tough one. It's a tough one because they're kids. And you don't know how guys are, you're drafting on what you think a guy's going to be, you don't know yet because it's one and done, or they come in so young that you just don't know. There's a lot of mistakes that can happen. And I'm not ready to pull the cord on Ben Simmons yet. I'd rather see Ben Simmons here with a different head coach, along with Joel Embiid. I think Anthony might have talked about this the other day, Andrew. Did he talk about that the Sixers, any kind of karma because of the process?
We joked around a little bit about it. The sports gods giving us the middle finger.
Yeah. I understood why the Sixers did the process. I didn't like that they did it for 4 years. I thought they took it to an extreme that was calling the integrity of what they were doing into question. You know, not purposely losing, because the players go out and they want to win and they play hard. But when you purposely put an inferior product out there year after year after year to try and build for the future, I understand it because that's the NBA and that's one way to do it. But it is, the sports gods did not look kindly upon that. And maybe there is some sort of karma for going about it to that extreme. And for all, you know, all the people that want to say that the process was a success because they got the two pieces and two generational, or not generational, but star players, and that made the process a success, I say, no, it didn't. The only thing that makes it a success is if they are a contender. And it's currently constructed with those two pieces. We don't even know if they can play together on a team that could contend. That's not a success. That's not success. You should be demanding more than that. Give me two stars. Who cares? If they can't win anything, it doesn't matter. And they haven't been able to push the ball forward. But I'm not in favor of trading the two stars. I'd rather get a head coach in here that may be able to utilize those two stars correctly with accountability. I think that's a big factor. Because remember, they did go 29-2 this year in the regular season at home. There's something there. 610-632-0975. That is the number. Flyers, Canadians tonight, game one for the actual playoffs for the Philadelphia Flyers. The Sixers now in play as well. We've been venting about the Phillies. And Gene Segura, what are you doing to me, Gene? 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Jason Martinez on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's Jason Martinez. Anthony off today. It's the Midday Show. Well, Andrew, you just alerted me to this video from Rex Chapman on Twitter. I don't know where this guy finds all his videos, by the way. You know, blocker charge and all that stuff.
He scrolls the web.
So, it's the UK's first socially distanced concert happening now in Newcastle. Attendees have their own private viewing area with 6 feet of space between them. And there's like little platforms with chairs on them so everybody can watch a concert.
Yeah, how awesome is that? You take a step up into the platform. It looks like the max is four
it's like
chairs.
A super box.
And they have a ton.
Yeah, they do.
They have a ton.
It's like staging and with railings.
I saw Natalie put out a tweet that I 100% agree with. This should be what it is from here on out. I don't need to go to whatever it's called nowadays, BB&T. You know, sit down on the lawn. And I'm, you know, get away from me, man.
That's pretty wild.
I'm out on the lawn. There's a guy that's, you know, has to go to the bathroom. He doesn't go to the bathroom. I'm like, yo, dude, come on, man.
It's one of the things
here.
I, you know, missing sports and everything about our world right now, but concerts, like in the summer, too. We're going to go through the whole concert season with nothing.
Yeah, and you know me. I'm a big country music fan, so... You know, I go to probably like 10 country concerts a year
in this area. It's a big party for you.
Yeah, missed out on all those.
Just seeing this too from Pro Football Talk, the NFL and NFPA agreed to the ground rules to return for to work. Players were insisted on daily testing. They got 2 weeks worth then, but now they have another month of daily testing. The NFLPA just announced an agreement with the NFL for daily testing of players to continue through September until at least September 5th. It said, quote, we will continue to monitor positivity rates within each club and relevant information from each team community to inform our assessment of testing frequency ahead of the regular season. That's what the union said in a statement. It also says it's impossible for the NFL to maintain the same kind of numbers the NBA and NHL are enjoying at the moment without creating a bubble. The increased testing gives them a better chance to stay on top of any positives before they become outbreaks. It's going to be real interesting to watch this, how this NFL season kind of takes place. 610-632-0975. Coming up tonight, 8 o'clock, you have the Flyers and Canadians. That game is going to be on WMMR tonight with yours truly doing the pre-intermission and post-game. Sixers-Raptors tonight at 6:30 right here on the Fanatic. So you got a winter sports doubleheader in August. Let's go to Dominic in South Philly on the Fanatic. Hey, Dom.
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
What's good going on, man? Buddy. You too.
I'm good, man. Good to hear you. I just want to, a couple things I want to touch on. First, as far as the gentleman who called in prior to myself saying about get rid of Embiid and Simmons, yada, yada. I think that's a bit foolish.
Yeah.
I think it's foolish because all you really need to know is that, listen, whether it's people want to say that they can't play together and this and that. Fact of the matter is they won 50 games playing together every year. There's obviously something wrong as far as the coaching. As much as we all like Brett Brown, let's get a new coach in here. Let's see if we can get the right pieces around these guys, because I don't think playing together is the problem. I think it's just basically the offense that they're running, the team that they're running. They're running the offense from a team that was constructed 2 years ago with Ilyasova and Bellinelli, because that's what he loves to do, the pace.
Run and gun.
Right. Right.
Well, the thing is about
guys' attributes.
The thing, Dom, for me that is so intriguing is that for all of those faults you just brought up, that the pieces don't fit what he wants to do, they still managed to go 29-2 at home.
Right. Well, no, and that's what I'm saying. Because of talent. Because even if you're talented, I mean, like, as dreadful as it's been on the road, the fact of the matter is, I think a lot of it has to do with coaching. And I think we agree, and I know that you said the same thing from even in the past. He's so nice to listen to. He's endearing. I like him. I stuck up for him. I wanted him to have the benefit of the doubt. I wanted him to see this through. It's time to go.
Yeah, he has seen it through to where he can take it. Now it's time for somebody else to get their hands on the wheel. And that's the thing, you know, with Brett, it's time to try something. I'm not trading a player of Simmons caliber or Embiid or doing something that rash until I can see what a new coach that brings in a high level of accountability. Because look, when you go, thanks for the call, man. When they're able to go 29-2 at home, there's something there. But then when you see a record of 10-24 on the road, why is that? Is that guys, when they get out on the road, not taking their craft, their profession seriously enough? Is that what the issue is?
It's got to be some sort of leadership thing. But
it is.
It's so crazy.
I've never seen something that pronounced.
Yeah, 29-2, and they only win 10 on the road. It's insane.
27 games over 500 at home and 14 under on the road?
That's got to be some sort of chemistry thing or some sort of leadership thing.
The guy's not doing the right things.
I guess.
You know what I mean? And that's because the coach runs a country club and not a NBA basketball team. And you can't let young guys that are multimillionaires that got paid a ton of money at a very young age run around. There's got to be a level of accountability, and they don't have it. And there's no way for him to change his way of doing things to gain it.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he can't be that guy.
Just think. Remember when the Sixers had a couple of bad losses, and one of them was in Miami, and Ben stayed. He didn't travel home with the team.
Yeah.
He stayed with Kendall Jenner. And it was pre-planned. Like, that was already a pre-planned thing that he would stay that night and then he would take the trip back the next day. But, you know, I don't remember if he made it to practice the next day or something. I forget what the whole story was, but that's part of it. Like,
yeah,
they were going through a losing streak. At that point, you go, hey, listen, I know that this was pre-planned.
You're on the charter, dude. Yeah. Cancel your private plane that you've reserved for the way back after a night with your girl. You're coming home with the team. We got work to do.
These guys live different lives than us, right?
No, I get
it. Totally different lives than us. But still, at that point, you know, when you're a Sixers fan and you see that happen, you go, whoa.
And then you watch
the last, like, four straight.
And then you watch The Last Dance.
Yeah.
And you see what that guy did. You know what I mean? If you want to be great, it's easy to say you want to be great, but it's really hard to do what it takes to be great. And I just don't see a level of accountability with the team and these young players to want to put in, you know, do what it takes to be great. Yeah, they all work out in the offseason. I get it. We see the videos. I don't give a damn about the videos. I need accountability, organizational accountability, and they don't have it right now. And it's too late for Brett to all of a sudden try and get his arms around that. He was pleading with the media at one point to get Ben to shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. At that point, you know that he's got no hand. When he does that, and he's a savvy guy speaking-wise, publicly, he just doesn't let things out willy-nilly. When he did that, I was like, oh, man, it's over, Johnny. Let's go to Hazleton and talk to Matt on the Fanatic. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for taking my call, and good afternoon, Andrew, as well. So before I go a little negative with the Sixers, I'd like to talk about positive with the Flyers. Definitely super excited. Admittedly, they're the fourth on my list. Consider myself 4 for 4, but admittedly don't pay as much attention. Now, I know obviously the main guys, but I've always thought that playoff hockey is the best playoffs of any sport, bar none, for years now. And I've always enjoyed it. It's way more enjoyable when the Flyers are involved. So having said that, the Sixers, I'm going to disagree with the previous caller and sort of agree with the caller before. Now, I had been a guy that was saying, I was thinking, let's give a coach, another coach a shot, see if they can make it work together. But I'm starting to try and think more in terms of, like, Mikey Miss talks on his show all the time about, you know, sometimes as fans, we overvalue our players. And I feel like Ben Simmons still has tremendous trade value. And I love him. I think he has so much potential. But I just think he's an injury away from we're never going to get anything back if something else, and one more injury happens, one more thing happens. And I just think the pieces don't fit. And especially with Horford coming over, I think if you could find some way to unload Simmons for some young talent, like the Cleveland, package that you said you read about also, I feel like this team hit its peak last year, you know, with the quadruple doink, which was obviously heartbreaking. But I just feel like they reached their peak and they need a new coach for sure, no question. And like you said, leadership, absolutely opposite of what Alain Vigneault has been for the Flyers. Brett Brown has been for the Sixers. But I just want to know your thoughts on that. What do you think? I mean, do you have any concerns about, you know, one of these guys is an injury away from...
Well, everybody's an injury away. You know what I mean? Everybody's an injury away.
Right, but they both had pretty significant injuries.
Yeah.
Been recently.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know. And he had the back and he's got the knee now. And look, I look at the thing about Ben is if he is used correctly, maybe he can go to that next level. And he's a pretty darn good player anyway. I mean, like this year, look, he doesn't shoot. And I don't know that he's ever going to shoot at this point. I really don't. I'll believe it when I see it. I keep hearing about it, but whatever, right? But I look at a guy that's a defensive nightmare for the opposite. He's a great defender. You know, he's a guy that can board. He's a guy that can distribute. And he's a guy that can, despite the fact that he doesn't shoot, can still give you 16 to 24 a night.
Right. And yeah, I agree with that. And like I said, maybe I'm like a couple calls ago and I'm just prisoner of the moment and just so down on the injury.
Yeah.
So down on being positive. Like I said, they just came back. It was all like, okay, maybe they were built for the playoffs, and then we just got crushed.
But,
you know?
Yeah, and you said, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I mean, you said something interesting. We tend to overvalue our own. We always do. Of course you do. You look at some guys around the league, and you go, he ain't that good. But really, he's a really good player because he's not your own replace for a rival. And we do. We love our own players.
Crosby sucks.
Yeah. I mean, and you would take him, obviously, in a heartbeat.
Bryce Harper was terrible before he... Can't hear.
No, he was like a punk, you know? He was a D-bag. You know, that was our perception of him until he got here, right? And you see that with players all the time. But, and we do. Sometimes we do overvalue guys in our own city. we see him more. And maybe sometimes that's an educated valuation. Sometimes it's hopeful. Like in Pat Burrell's career, we always hoped there would be more, but for some reason we never held him accountable to what we thought he was going to be. But look, I just want to see Ben and Joel with a different coach. With a coach that's going to hold them to a high level of accountability. And there may be rough days in the short term because of that. But a coach that's going to get the most out of those two, and also a coach that uses them correctly in a game. Who is that guy? I don't know. Young players in sport now aren't like, you know, you got to treat them different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you can't just scream and yell and tell them, because you'll lose them. And they've got more bank and more, it's easier to change the coach than it is the players. So you got to show them. You got to make them feel like they're a part of the process to get greatness out of them.
Yeah, but you also have to get someone that can own a locker room. I mean, Brett Brown clearly isn't.
Well, I thought Al Horford was going to be that kind of leader. And Tobias. Like Tobias, when
Tobias
we were at Sixers media day.
Tobias has stepped up.
Yeah, he says the right things.
He's been playing really well.
But the fact of the matter is that even though Tobias is saying the right things, he's not having an effect on some of his teammates. So while he may say the right things, everybody.
Maybe he can only do so much. I mean, again, Brett Brown, I think Brett Brown gets walked all over. That's what I think.
Yeah, no, I think you're dead right about
that. You just pointed out the Ben Simmons three-point thing. He says it in the media, and then what happens? It was almost like out of spite. He goes, okay, Brett, I'm not going to shoot one the rest of the year.
Yeah, to make you look like a fool. And this is the guy that you've known your whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you're not going to respect him, who are you going to respect? Ben and Ambler's on the Fanatic. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I think it's like your kids, right? You know, that's how we kind of look at players from, in our own town.
Yeah, sometimes
we love them a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, we have a vested interest in those guys. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? And we get our hair up when somebody from another city goes, dude, you guys got a Ben Simmons playing point guard. He can't even shoot. And you're like, yeah, but he gives me 8 boards a game, you know, and you know, because you get your back up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think at this point, you know, although, we have the same name, I think it's time to move on from Ben. I hear you talk about, wanting to see a new coach in here and holding them accountable, him and JoJo and the boys. But I just, at this point, he's not going to shoot. You know, and if you have someone that's not going to shoot the ball other than the layup, you know, he becomes a liability. He really does.
Yeah, look, I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of seeing the dumb videos that get put out and people get excited about it. Until we see it with some regularity, then I'll go, okay, now he's taking the next step as a player. But until I see that, I'm not going to believe it. I'm hopeful that, you know, there's other guys in the NBA, in the history of the NBA, that came in and couldn't shoot and eventually found a serviceable shot. And
not couldn't, wouldn't, won't.
Yeah, that's the thing with him, is he won't for the most part.
Yeah, and at this point, I think it's time to trade him. And, while he still has a lot of value, and, you know, you get someone that can...
Wow.
That can actually...
Stunned by this line of conversation. All right, man. Ben, we'll... I don't agree. I don't think you should trade him right now. I really
no.
I mean, you see what this
nucleus does between him and
with
JoJo.
Brett Brown. That's with Brett Brown, though, and no accountability, and trying to run a system that doesn't fit its players.
You think the coach will have that much effect?
I think he could have that much effect. I really do. I think a new coach could change the dynamic. And I'm not ready to cut the cord on Ben Simmons until I see that part.
Did the caller forget that? I get it. It's only a couple shots, but did he forget that he took 2 threes in his last full game that he played in?
Yeah, it's one game, though. I mean, we need to see this with
him. And then he took a couple threes before that.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, we're
not
asking...
Is he going to do it in a playoff game?
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. We're not going to see.
Well,
because,
he's not going to play.
But, I mean, Ben Simmons, I get it. He doesn't shoot much. Aren't you going to take 2 3-point attempts? You don't want him to take 8.
No. You don't want... You want two.
You want two.
Yeah.
And what did he do in his last full game? He took 2.
Yeah. I want some jump shots in the field and maybe 1 3-point.
Yeah. All right. He took 2.
Yeah.
And we don't want him to take more. So you can't say he doesn't shoot Like he won't shoot, but he just did. What the most recent moment in our mind is that he did take two threes. Did he miss them both? He did. And then we're going to complain that he can't shoot well. Well, at least he took the shots.
Why is he taking that three?
That's what we've been asking for him to take the shots. And, yeah. And he did that. By the way, speaking of the Sixers, from Shams Charania, Joel Embiid will play tonight.
Oh, okay.
Against the Raptors. And Alec Burks out tonight for rest. He has foot soreness, but it's more so a rest.
All right, so Joe is going to play tonight. So the resting of five starters will not happen tonight. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes and see what kind of effort they get tonight. Like, because there's so many guys sitting out, Andrew, are you, like, dialed in when they're basically playing out these last two as a string?
I really paid very little attention yesterday.
Yeah.
I had them all. I was streaming them. I was doing some other stuff at home.
Yeah, you're keeping an eye on it.
But when everybody was out.
Yeah.
I mean, Norvell Pell's in the lineup. Like, you know, all I care.
Let's go to South Jersey, talk to Randy. What's up, Randy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
It's good to hear you, Jason. I haven't really got to call in ever since you came back, so I love hearing you.
Thank you,
man. Real quick about the, you know, we love to hate. I mean, Crosby, I hate him more than anything, but if he was here, I'd love him. You know, same way with Bryce. I didn't really care for him in Washington, but love him now.
Yep.
But as far as the Sixers, I thought this was going to be a good thing when Brett Brown was hired because of the Australian connection, you know what I mean, with Ben. But I think, you know, he needs a new voice in that locker room. It just hasn't worked out. You know, that part of things could have worked out in our favor, but I think it's been a detriment.
Yeah, look, I think that we all at this point can realize that they need a change there. They need to make a change.
Yeah.
And they're, look, Ben's going to be out, and they're probably going to get bounced in the first round. I hope they don't.
Yep.
But
yeah, it's unfortunate that we couldn't see it through this one more time. I mean, Brett's had his chances, but, you know, I just wanted to see it one more time, even though, before, you know, when the restart started, it wasn't good. But before you cut me off, I want to tell you this from the Phillies game last night. So I go outside, and I smoke cigarettes, unfortunately, but there are mosquitoes at my house. So I'm like, oh, let me sit in my car and listen to Fransky in L.A. So I sit in my car, Bryce hits the two-run bomb, Segura hits the bomb. I get out of the car, going back in bed with the wife. The top of the ninth happens where the Orioles take the lead. So I'm like, oh, I'm just a Philly fan. What do you think I do? Go back in my car. And then I'm sitting in there texting my group text with all my boys.
I got to move on. We got to wrap up.
That's good work, buddy.
Yeah, but that's good to go back out. He wanted another smoke. But probably. Good on him for doing it.
Hey, by the way, Harris, Richardson, and Horford are also playing today.
Oh, okay. So you got a roster.
Four-fifths of the starting five minus Ben with Shake.
They got to knock the rust off again. For the opening round matchup. Fanatics Deal of the Week. Snack up with the Fanatics Deal of the Week. This week only, I get a $50 gift card to Philly Pretzel Factory for only $25. Satisfy your salty craving today and get 50% off at Philly Pretzel Factory. Available now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. All right, that's going to put a wrap on the show tonight. Enjoy the games tonight. You got the Sixers tonight at 6:30 against the Raptors. Flyers, Canadians, game one coming up presumably at 8 o'clock. The Boston Canes games in overtime. See if anything gets pushed today.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, right? It could be in peril. You never know. Stay tuned. Mikey Miss has got you next, 2 to 6. Have a great day, everybody. Stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next time right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.